We're back on the Bengals Beat podcast. I'm Lindsay Patterson, Bengals Beat writer Tyler Dragon, our guy Charlie Goldsmith, who will be helping us out this summer and football season. How you guys doing?
Doing pretty good. It's a rainy day in Cincinnati today, kind of cloudy outside. It's been rainy during the morning and the afternoon, but other than that, I'm doing all right. How about y'all?
I think we made it to the preseason. Today feels like one of the first days where there's actual sports to talk about with opening day, FC Cincinnati's win last night, so we made it.
It's insane right now because we do have opening day in Cincinnati, and it's training camp time. I joked on social media when the Bengals sent out their media guide, it always feels like it's training camp. But right now, guys, are we going to see it start on time? Because I feel like there's some positive talks, obviously, still ongoing with NFL and the NFLPA. They're not trying to push anything back. Preseason to be determined. But right now, Tyler, we're going to start on Tuesday?
Full steam ahead right now. I know the NFL and the NFLPA both want to start training camp on time on that July 28th target date. Rookies actually reported to the facility on Tuesday just to take a coronavirus test, and then they went back to their homes, and they'll actually go back to facilities, their facilities on Friday to take another COVID-19 test. And there is a talk, maybe, I use that word loosely, that rookies will be able to work out and possibly do some unfilled work on Sunday. So we'll see. It's all up in the air right now, but I know a lot of rookies are eager to finally get their feet wet on the field and start training in the weight room as training camp approaches and the NFL season too.
And we'll talk about this more in a bit, but a major step happened in this process earlier this week in that many rookies reported and signed contracts. So now with that hurdle crossed as well, that's another barrier that means the Cincinnati Bengals are closer to training camp.
And speaking of closer, Chase Young, the number two pick, he signed his contract today. So all eyes are looking at the number one pick when you look at Joe Burrow. As Charlie mentioned, some of the draftees signed their contracts. When you look at Logan Wilson, really that linebacker room, and Hakeem Adeniji. Tyler, should fans be concerned? Because I'm still getting it. When's Joe Burrow going to sign? When's T. Higgins going to sign? This is similar. I mean, we've seen this before. It will get wrapped up soon. It's going to be a four-year deal, and all the money's to be determined as far as what's guaranteed in the signing bonus. Can you just reassure them that it's going to be fine?
I get it. Fans are pushing the panic button right now because – number one overall pick Joe Burrow hasn't signed. Second round pick T. Higgins hasn't signed. And don't forget about Khalid Kareem, the defensive end out of Notre Dame. He has not signed either. But I can assure all the fans out there that Joe Burrow, T. Higgins, and Khalid Kareem, they will sign contracts with the Bengals. And Joe Burrow's number is pretty much already set. He's going to get a little bit north of $36 million. That's the overall value of his contract. It's a four-year deal with a fifth-year option. So the Bengals and Joe Burrow's representatives, they're just figuring out the particulars and the contract language in his deal. And once they get that finalized, he'll put pen to paper, and that deal will be complete. And same goes for the other two rookies as well. They will get contracts done. So Bengals fans, do not get worried. Don't be concerned. Joe Burrow will be at training camp when the contract gets finalized. And they are nearing completion right now.
Chase Young didn't sign until this morning. The fourth pick hasn't signed. The sixth pick hasn't signed. Six other picks haven't signed. One of those guys is Justin Herbert, who's the other rookie quarterback who I think we all expect to play right away. So there's nothing in this situation at all that is unique to Joe Burrow.
I think when you look overall, and it's showing what we already knew. Some people called me a little too optimistic when I said football was going to start on time. Again, preseason to be determined, and if we see zero games or one. But when you look at what the NFL is doing, even the NFLPA, I feel like both parties want to make something happen. I think the difference is when you look at what happened with Major League Baseball and their players' union, how long it took for them to come together. And look, it's different when you look at the games and the money guaranteed and all that stuff. It's going to look a little different. I felt pretty optimistic that the NFL was going to start on time. Do you guys feel the NFL is making the right steps and it should start on time and players should report on Tuesday?
Well, that's a tricky question. And I see all the other sports starting far as NFL, my stance has not changed. It's going to be the hardest sport to return, and that's just because the overall numbers on each team. It was reported this week that training camp rosters will be 80 players. Then you have the coaching staff, the trainers, and, you know, all the team personnel. So each team has 100-plus players, coaches, and all, you know, personnel. So that's a lot of testing that they're going to be doing. But the NFL and NFLPA, they're finalizing protocols and a safe way to return to training camp. And they are determined to have training camp and have an NFL season. And their determination is palpable, because I can see it from talking to players, from talking to coaches, and hearing owners talk. So I do think there's going to be NFL season, but there are still hurdles to cross.
Well, what we do know is the players want to play week one. In every statement I've seen from different players involved in the Players Association, there have been multiple bullet points that say, we want to play, we want to play. They're just waiting for a specific concrete plan, which is understandable. But because of the motivation on both sides to get a deal done, I don't see them having to wait as long as the MLB did.
And we talk about other teams and the NFL really having some time to look at other leagues and how they restarted everything. You look at the bubble right now, it's the best case scenario. NBA was zero positive tests. Major League Soccer right now, zero positive tests. And I know recently they had to deal with some other teams who did test positive. They've worked that out, but zero right now. NHL with two positives. Major League Baseball with five positives. The NFL and the NFLPA are coming to terms with how the testing's really going to look like. And as Tyler mentioned, Joe Burrow and the rookies, they had a test on Friday, and what we see now is you're going to have to get two tests before you do take the field. The hope is for the team to get to the field on Saturday, and then all together veterans have to do a similar approach next week, and hopefully in a little over a week they're all on the field together. But do you guys feel, I mean, not to look at this too political and kind of see what's happened in the United States with some of the COVID testing and the spread, do you feel like sports are actually showing other states just really how to do it? I mean, you can't put the NFL in a bubble or anything like that, and some people have joked about that, like put the NFL in and maybe Canada or that's not going to happen. I don't see it happening. Look, I'm not the expert, but I don't see that happening. I think they're going to go on as planned, no limited or no fans. But do you guys feel like there is a little bit of positives when you watch sports come back and how they've handled everything?
So that's interesting question you asked. I do think the NBA, they're pretty much the prototype for all sports. I think they're setting an example. I've said from the beginning, they had the most comprehensive plan at returning. Even Dr. Fauci, the nation's leading medical expert, the NBA had his stamp of approval. So, you know, anytime you have Dr. Fauci on your side, I think you're doing the right thing. So as far as the general public, it does make you feel good. It is good for your morale and your spirits just to have sports back and have something to cheer for when in society you see the coronavirus numbers every single day going up across the country and across the world. People are fortunately dying and people are getting sick. So it's real serious. It doesn't look like this virus is going to be contained anytime soon. But when you have sports just to look at, even for a couple hours, it does give you a sense of relief from everything that's going on, you know, in your personal lives and just in society today. So for Reds fans, I know they're excited about opening day on Friday. NBA fans, they're equally as excited. I know I can't wait to watch my Lakers play. And so everybody is pretty excited to just see sports return. We just all hope that, you know, they can stay on the field and on the court and whatever the capacity is, because, you know, it does give us a diversion from what everything is going on around us.
And what's been most impressive to me about the leagues that are returning is the attention to detail that they're placing on everything. The NBA has a socially distanced barbershop in the bubble. If you watched any preseason games yesterday, the seats on the bench are spaced out 6 feet apart. The NFL won't be able to do as much of that because, one, there's no bubble, and two, you can't socially distance on the sideline in that same way, but you'd expect similar protocols to keep the players as safe as possible.
In some of the NFL teams, they have already put together and sent it to the NFL, and it was released yesterday, kind of their plan and protocols of what everything's going to look like. The Bengals are actually still pending right now, and it's just because they haven't looked at everyone's cases. They haven't been approved yet. And I think a big factor is, and again, we won't see what the NFL locker room looks like. You know, there might be video or things from the team's social site, but we will not be in locker rooms as of now. We'll more than likely be more video interviews as the season starts, and it determines on what that's going to look like as the months go on. But I think that's going to be really interesting on the Bengals side, because we've been in there before. We see that the locker rooms are next to each other, and they have to be 6 feet apart. So all of that has to get fixed. It's crazy to think that it has to be fixed in just a couple of days, because that's when the whole group's going to be there after they get their first initial test for some of the vets and the rookies who could take the field on Saturday. As of now, you guys, I know everything's not official, but more than likely, we're not going to see any preseason games. When you think of that and you think of week one of what a season will look like, of course you think of the guys. If there's only 80 guys reporting to camp, I know your roster gets cut down to 53, but if there's only 80, that's 10 opportunities for every team of players not getting a chance to prove themselves. I know that I've been at training camps before, and you look at a guy and you're like, that guy's winning training camp. You look at him in a preseason game and you might see two different things of really getting to judge the guy in the first to the last preseason game. I don't think there needs to be four preseason games. I think two or three is enough. But obviously the season is going to look a little different. Every team is not on the same page. We might look at it like, oh, they're all getting into week one and they're taking their first reps of this season. The Cincinnati Bengals, it's going to look different. Where we see some of the different quarterbacks, even in Miami, you know, what they decide to do at starting quarterback, if they decide maybe we'll just let Tua sit on the side just for now because he won't get any reps in preseason. Obviously, an injury-prone guy, he will more than likely be the starter. But you see that a lot. Even Tom Brady going to Tampa and not getting any of those preseason reps. Look, training camp is different reps, even if it's 8 padded practices, which doesn't seem like a lot, compared to getting reps in a game. How does this look for the Cincinnati Bengals if their quarterback, and we know what their backup room looks like, is starting his first NFL game in a game that counts in week one? What's that going to look like for Cincinnati?
Well, the good thing is, since I can remember the NFL combine, when I talked to Bengals coaches about Joe Burrow, one of the first things they said to me was, you know, he is a very smart football player and he'll be ready for NFL primetime football. So that's one of the biggest compliments you can, you know, give someone that hasn't even taken a snap in the National Football League. And this was before the Bengals had even drafted him. So they are very confident that Joe Burrow will be ready to play when week one happens. He's mentally prepared. He's had the playbook for a while now. And the Bengals coaches, those Zoom meetings, they tested the players. They tested the quarterback room. They had pop quizzes. So when Joe Burrow gets on the field, whenever that happens, they're going to make sure that he's mentally ready and prepared for the regular season. And the good thing is for the Bengals is everybody's has the same predicament. Every single team has no preseason and is pretty much training camp in those handful of weeks until the regular season. For the Bengals, though, obviously you have a rookie quarterback. You're going to have a handful of new starters on defense. So you're going to have to ingratiate all that new talent on the field. But every team in the National Football League is battling the same issues, and this is – we've said it all along, this entire offseason is unprecedented right now. And, you know, you just have to roll with the punches, as they say. But as far as Joe Burrow, I think he'll be fine. He's going to have rookie growing pains, just like all rookies do. He's not going to be immune to that. There's going to be some ups and downs. But I think there's Bengals fans have a lot to look forward to. I've talked to multiple former quarterbacks, and they were all impressed with Joe Burrow, equally as impressed as I have been, you know, from talking to him early on after the draft and just watching his tape. So I think he'll be ready, and he has the tools to be successful despite this unprecedented offseason where there has not been any unfilled work until training camp.
And you know who's also not worried about Joe Burrow? AJ Green. When we talked to him on Friday, he said, Joe Burrow's a dog. He's a gamer. Someone who I watched under immense pressure do unbelievable. When I think of Joe Burrow heading into this situation, I'm reminded that he was in intense quarterback competitions for 2 years in college, 1 year at Ohio State and 1 year at LSU. And when you're in a competition like that, it feels like a game, even though you're in a new system with new teammates, those snaps feel pivotal. So Joe Burrow is someone who has felt pressure in practice. He's felt pressure in the national championship. And he's someone and he's someone who his teammates already believe in despite the unprecedented offseason.
I think one of the negatives and one things that a lot of teams will be dealing with would be some of the injuries that we might see week one and two just because of the reps and not having any of the offseason workouts, OTAs, mini camps, and no preseason more than likely. But a positive for Joe Burrow and a lot of these guys on this team, I know they play at home first, but then you hit those road games. If it's limited to no fans, what a dream for a quarterback. I mean, you can hear the snap count and it'll be great for the offense and guys who are learning to play against competition in a stadium. So I think there are some benefits and obviously some negatives, but like you mentioned, Tyler, everybody's kind of on the same page of not having more than likely no preseason games. Charlie, you mentioned AJ Green. We were all on that conference call with him. And every single time I hear AJ Green talk, I'm impressed with the guy. And it should get old after a while because he was drafted in 2011, but it doesn't. When you guys were listening to that press conference call, we all agreed. It should have more – I actually – Tyler, you and I were kind of a little bit different on the contract situation. I felt like franchise was the way to go. You could see maybe a long-term deal getting situated. I was a little surprised to hear him say, I think I have about 3 to 4 good years left in me. That's a great contract in my eyes if this guy has a good year or semi-good year and gets 12 to 13 games out of him to give him a 3-year contract after this season.
Yeah, you know, I would have gave him originally an incentive-laden deal, but I totally understand why the Bengals offered him the franchise tag. And the Bengals and AJ Green, they're both saying all the right things. I know deep down in his heart, though, he wanted that long-term deal. You know he did. But he's been a good sport about it. He's had a positive outlook, and he's saying, hey, you know, I've been injured, and I did not play all of last season. So this is a time for me to be healthy, play a full 16-game slate, and show not only the Bengals but the NFL world that I'm still AJ Green and I'm one of the best receivers in the National Football League. So he is motivated to have a good season. As Charlie mentioned, he's excited to have Joe Burrow. He thinks Joe Burrow is a quote-unquote dog and is ready for his competitive ways. So overall, I think both sides are in a good situation. Both sides seem to be happy and ready to move forward. And AJ Green, he said he wants to retire a Cincinnati Bengal. And he's number two on the franchise list on most receiving categories. If he signs another lengthy deal of 2-3 years, he'll be number one in receiving yards, receiving touchdowns, and across the board. So I know Bengals fans want AJ Green to be here for the long term, but it's all about if he can stay on the field, and he has not been on the field. That's plagued him for the last few years. So if he can stay on the field and evade the injury bug, the Bengals will be inclined to sign him to a multi-year contract after the season.
I learned a lot this week reporting a story with AJ Green's former trainer, a guy who was a kinesiologist with a focus in injury prevention. And he described how tough an ankle injury is, because there's so many tendons, so many bones, so many muscles in such a compact area that you really rely on as a receiver who has to change speeds, get away from corners, jump, run. Despite all of that, AJ's trainer said he has at least 4 more years left in him and said he wouldn't be surprised to see AJ go down as one of the best, as the best receiver in Bengals history. And from AJ's perspective, to have gone through over a year of contract discussions with the Bengals and for it to, at this point, have not gone out on his side, but to still be as excited about playing for the franchise as he could have been even with a new contract, I mean, he sounded thrilled about the opportunity he has this season, despite what you would guess might have been, you know, acrimonious conversations behind the scenes. There was no signs of that when AJ spoke to the media on Friday. He's excited to play for the Bengals, and he said, they took a shot on me when I first got in the league. So as Tyler mentioned, if it really turns out that he is, you know, as AJ said, the old AJ this season, I think all signs are pointing to 3 more years of AJ Green with the Bengals.
I think everybody can agree that that would be a good thing for both sides. And he was open with the communication that he's having with the Bengals family, the Brown family. And he does feel like he can come out there and show people what he did in 2011 and when he was healthy, AJ Green. This feels like a softball question, but I'm going to throw it at you guys right now. We've talked about Joe Burrow and his confidence and really how he can lead this team as a young rookie quarterback. When you have a guy like AJ Green on or off the field, why is Joe Burrow lucky to have this guy?
Well, I'll just put it like this. I talked to Warren Moon this offseason about AJ Green and Joe Burrow, and he pretty much told me the Bengals, they have really good pieces around Joe Burrow, and that's what you need for a rookie quarterback to be successful and for a young quarterback to, you know, just feel comfortable overall. And he really likes what the Bengals have going around Joe Burrow. AJ Green, if he can stay healthy, I'm telling you, and it's I know it's a small sample size, but the very first day of training camp, he was looking explosive for the first 30 minutes or so until he suffered that ankle injury. But he was looking like one of the best receivers that I've covered in the National Football League. So if he can maintain that and stay in the field, and then you have Tyler Boyd coming off back-to-back 1,000-yard seasons. You have John Ross. We know his shoulder injury messed up his season last year, but before he went down for those first 3 games of the regular season, he was one of the best deep threats in the National Football League and was having his best 3-game stretch of his career. And then you have Joe Mixon in the backfield, a running back, back-to-back 1,000-yard seasons. I know he hasn't been to the Pro Bowl before, but he's a Pro Bowl caliber running back. So you have those pieces in place for Joe Burrow, and not to mention the second round pick, T. Higgins. You have some weapons out there at his disposal and for him to be comfortable. It's all going to be up to that offensive line to protect him. But on the outside, he has the necessary pieces, and he has a stud running back in Joe Mixon. So I do like what the Bengals have going. It's just they also, unfortunately for the Bengals, they're in a very tough division in the AFC North when you have the Baltimore Ravens, who are, in my opinion, going to win a division, and then you have the Steelers, who just got Ben Roethlisberger back healthy, and the Cleveland Browns. You have to think that Cleveland will be better this season after the fiasco we saw from them last season.
On the conference call with reporters Friday, AJ Green spent about a minute listing all of the weapons that he had, that he has this season in Cincinnati. He went through the list, as Tyler said, T. Higgins, Tyler Boyd, John Ross, on and on and on. Tyler's right, the Bengals don't have the best offense in the division, but there's still enough to legitimately be excited about if you're AJ Green. He said that this offense is better than the one that made the playoffs in his 2011 rookie season. And he's right. I looked it up in 2011, and Andre Caldwell and Jerome Simpson were the Bengals' second and third best receivers. The running backs that year are Bernard Scott and Cedric Benson. These are guys that going way back didn't even last much longer in the NFL after they left Cincinnati. Cincinnati has real upside guys this year. It's easy to see why AJ wants to set roots here long term, because there is the sense that, you know, this offense is building something. It's a couple of offensive line pieces away, but there is the core of a really interesting unit here.
You guys mentioned the playmakers, and I actually talked to Marcus Spears around draft time right before they drafted Joe Burrow, knowing they were going to draft Joe Burrow, and I straight up asked him. I think I get this a lot from Bengals fans, and they talk about the national media narrative and how hard everyone is on them. And some were saying, why would he want to go play in Cincinnati? He hasn't really said he wanted to play in Cincinnati. Joe Burrow talked to us after he was drafted, and he was like, look, I never said anything. And he didn't say anything that was out of the ordinary that we heard from Coach Zach Taylor when we asked Zach Taylor about it in the offseason. Nothing crazy, but of course that narrative is there. This past week, Dan Patrick talked about it, and he said that, you know, Joe Burrow is going to need more pieces to win. Marcus Spears feels like all the attention is on the Cincinnati team because obviously they had a bad year and they were 2-14 and they had the number one draft pick. That's where he felt the narrative was. We're hearing this again though in national media, and you heard that on Dan Patrick's show. Why do you guys feel, I mean, AJ Green mentioned it. We've talked about it. You had Tyler Boyd who has stepped up as number one at times when AJ Green wasn't healthy. We don't know what John Ross is going to do. You have Auden Tate. You get a T. Higgins. There's still a lot of playmakers in the wide receiver room and on the ground in Joe Mixon and Gio Bernard. But why do you feel people look at this wide receiver group and they don't get enough credit, or they do say it's underrated?
Well, I think they believe it's underrated because of that 2-14 season, that black mark that they have, the worst tie for the worst record in franchise history. And it's tough to bounce back from that. And it's tough to make people believe in you in the aftermath of a season that was that catastrophic, quite frankly. So when you look at the Bengals overall, they're obviously in a rebuild mode. And when you look at their weapons, yes, there is a reason to be optimistic. They have a pretty good wide receiver room. And, you know, they added a second-round pick in T. Higgins, and there's a little question mark still with A.J. Green and his health. But when you see this receiver room on paper, I like what I see. I honestly do. You have a legit number one wide receiver, if, that's a big if now, if he can stay healthy. Tyler Boyd, he has proven himself the last few years. 1,000-yard receiver. In my opinion, he's one of the best slot receivers in the National Football League. And if John Ross can stay healthy, he's one of the fastest receivers in the NFL and a legit deep threat who can stretch the field for Joe Burrow and the Cincinnati Bengals. So I like this receiver room. And T. Higgins, I know he hasn't taken a snap yet, but I believe he and Joe Burrow can build a rapport together, and they'll get comfortable with one another, and they're going to, you know, develop on the same path, similar to what A.J. Green and Andy Dalton did when they were drafted the same year. So there is reason to be optimistic. I know outside media, the national media, they're pretty much down on the Bengals overall. And when you look at the totality of the whole situation, okay, yeah, I honestly have the Bengals at 6-10 in the regular season, if there is a full regular season. So that's not a real great record, but that's just based on the teams that they have to play and the division that they are in. But fans have to realize, if you're being unbiased, that the Bengals, they're in a rebuild mode and they still have potential. But it's going to take a few years for the Bengals to be a contender, a legit contender in the AFC North.
6-10 is still a really huge jump from 2-14.
Exactly.
And you can be 6-10 and still have a really good offense in the way we're discussing right now. You can still have great, promising offensive weapons and finish 6-10. I think people are also underrating the impact Joe Burrow is going to have on these receivers, especially Tyler Boyd. So Boyd last season was 25th in the NFL in receiving yards, but he should have been even better. He was 7th in the league in targets, but he was 145th in catch percentage. He just had 5 drops, so that meant there were 57 passes to Tyler Boyd last season that were off target. If Joe Burrow, who's a better mid to deep ball thrower than Andy Dalton, connects with Tyler Boyd 3 more times a game, that's 500 more yards for Tyler Boyd this season. If that happened last season, Tyler Boyd would have been 2nd in the NFL in receiving yards, ahead of Julio Jones, DeAndre Hopkins, all of those guys. There are guys like that who didn't have as much opportunity last year because of an awful offensive line, inconsistent quarterback play, injuries, and on and on and on. Guys like Tyler Boyd, guys like T. Higgins and Auden Tate, with A.J. Green in the mix and a better quarterback, and for all the discussion we have about the offensive line, it is a better offensive line. I think that this offense does have legitimate upside relatively for a 6-10 team.
You mentioned the off target, and one play that comes to mind, and Tyler, you're going to remember it too, and Charlie watching last season, and I want to say it was in Buffalo, and it was a catch to Auden Tate, one of our guys, Sam Green, Kareem Elgazar. We have it on Cincinnati Inquirer, and Auden just, you know, his body reaches up, grabs the ball, and it was just a little off target to get them a first down, and everyone will remember that. And again, everybody looks at quarterback play, and that's a great point, some of the off target throws that we saw last year from the quarterback and Andy Dalton. Position battle, you guys. If training camp does start on time, it's expected to start July 28th. And by start, I mean, as we talked about, they go in for their COVID testing. They really don't get to the field until later in the week. Position battles is one of my favorite things, and we'll stick with the offensive line because the offensive line did get better. I talked to the trainer in Jonah Williams. The guy is a beast. He has muscles on muscles. One of his best qualities is his quickness and speed. So you have that over on the left side, I'm treating it like it's his rookie year. The right side, again, still a concern when you look at Bobby Hart. But the Bobby Hart-Fred Johnson battle is what I'm here for. It's unfortunate because we probably won't get to see that in preseason, so it will be kind of more of a battle when you get into week one and week two, depending on how the roster looks. Obviously, Fred Johnson will be there, even as a depth piece. I've talked to other people around the league. When we look at offensive line play, everyone has told me, and I think this is a popular fan approval too, that anybody but Bobby Hart is a good answer on the offensive line. That battle is what I'm looking forward to. Johnson versus Hart. Where are you guys at when you look at training camp and other positions?
So I'm not going to say too much on this topic because you're ruining my story on Cincinnati.com. I have a story on Cincinnati.com about the training camp battles on offense and on defense. I will say this, though. Right tackle is one of the main battles that I'm going to be looking forward to watching. Fred Johnson, as you mentioned, got the start last season, week 17. The Bengals are really high on him. They like his potential and upside. And Bobby Hart, he was inconsistent last season, to be honest. He was the Bengals' most penalized offensive lineman. He got beat a lot around the edge. And the Bengals expect more out of him because they signed him to a pretty lucrative contract. That's going to be one of the main position battles on offense. It is on my list on Cincinnati.com. So go on the website and take a look at the story because you will see that and a couple more position battles on the offensive end. And on defense, there are several, but I will only say one. And the one I'll say is inside linebacker. You have Jermaine Pratt at one inside linebacker spot, but the other is still a question mark. Will the rookie Logan Wilson start? Will it be the veteran that they got from Baltimore, Josh Bynes? Or will someone else emerge? That's going to be an intriguing battle that I'm looking forward to seeing because we all know the Bengals linebacker spot was a sight for sore eyes last season, and they have struggled overall at linebacker of late. So the Bengals want to upgrade that position group. They drafted three linebackers. They added a linebacker in free agency who from the AFC North champion Ravens. So they addressed that position this offseason. So we'll see if it's truly upgraded. We're going to find out soon.
And the reason those two positions, I think, are the most important ones to keep an eye on is because the Bengals offensive line coach and linebackers coaches have shown that they're willing to be influenced by preseason play at both of those positions. Heading into training camp last season, we all thought Billy Price was going to start at center. And then there were guys on the offensive line we expected could have started that weren't even on the Bengals by week 17. What happened in the preseason and in training camp really influenced what happened at both positions. At linebacker, Jermaine Pratt was more of an under-the-radar guy heading into the offseason. And then, you know, Bengals' first preseason game, they have him out there. He's calling plays. I read back about preseason coverage last year. He was one of the stars, constantly making deflections, covering ground all over the field. That had a legitimate influence on him playing every game and starting at the end of the season. So these coaches who are making these decisions have expressed that we will be willing to be influenced by what we see in the preseason and in training camp. And I think because they've shown that, even without a preseason, what happens in training camp will be that much more important.
And Charlie, you have it up on Cincinnati.com. I think a lot of people forget towards the last half of last season how this defense really started to come together. I mean, you look at a leader like Carlos Dunlap, and it's still crazy to believe he's going into year 11. What were you learning about the identity they really want to get together in 2020?
So Lou Anarumo was hired to be the Bengals defensive coordinator last February. But the problem was that he didn't have a long enough offseason to build specifically the kind of team that he wanted to build. There were too many pieces that had to fit together with a new coaching staff, less prep time, et cetera. But then you look at the way the Bengals added to every layer of the defense this offseason, that fits the mold that Lou Anarumo has used across his coaching career. Talking to some of his former mentors, Lou Anarumo falls from the Kevin Coyle coaching tree. Coyle was with the Bengals for over a decade and has influenced tons of defensive coaches across the country. At this places along the way where Anarumo has run a Kevin Coyle defense, they've included roving linebackers who are mobile. They've relied on man-to-man cornerbacks playing really well in coverage. And they've relied on playmaking safeties who rove all over the field, are great moving up against the run or playing back, getting interceptions. And looking at the guys the Bengals have added, that's what they do. All of the linebackers the Bengals drafted are mobile guys. The Bengals signed Von Bell, who now allows Sean Williams to play that linebacker, that nickelback role that Anarumo's defenses have often utilized. The Bengals made their biggest splash at quarterback with Mackenzie Alexander and Trey Waynes. Those are guys who the Bengals hope can be an upgrade from the pieces they had at that position last season. So it all pieces together to fit this Lou Anarumo defense, which is probably what he sold the Bengals on when he got the job last winter.
Tyler, don't you think Lou is the happiest guy this offseason? I mean, they go heavy in free agency. They go heavy late in the draft. They start to build that linebacker room. He's like having himself an offseason for the Bengals.
Yeah, I talked to Coach Lou this offseason, and he was ecstatic with all the draft pieces that they added and the free agents that they signed. And, you know, he really said last season the two issues were they really could not stop the run and they couldn't create enough takeaways. He said they dropped 10 interceptions that were really just right in their hands. He believes they added some playmakers at that defensive spot. So it all is going to be dependent on how they perform on the field, though. I know we can talk about what's on paper and, you know, sign these free agents and added these draft picks. But until you prove it on the field, it does not mean anything. And that's – the bottom line. And Lou Anarumo, he really said that. He's really excited about everybody that they added, but he wants to see production on the field. Everybody can talk, but he wants to see production on the field. And he kind of related it to the Michael Jordan documentary. I know we talked about that. It seems like so long ago since we saw that, but he related to that. You know, he said Michael Jordan, you know, he talked a good game, but he also backed it up. And he's looking for that from his players on the defensive side of the football.
I think it will really happen.
Be honest, linebacker and quarterback are probably still weaknesses on this defense. The Trey Waynes signing in particular had a lot of criticism. The Bengals could be starting a second year and a rookie linebacker who have never played winning NFL football before in their careers. But, you know, the one reason long-term to be optimistic is there is an idea in place. There is a mold that Lou Anarumo is particularly coaching for and building toward. And if it ends up not working out with these current players, well, then you're one step closer to finally finding the one last plug-and-play piece in a couple of years when the Bengals are competing.
Yeah, the good thing about the defense, though, that defensive line is the strength mm-hmm. of their defense, and it's going to have a trickle-down effect on every single level, the linebackers and the secondary. So if the secondary doesn't have to cover that long because the defensive line is wreaking havoc up front, then that makes their job easier. And same goes for the linebackers. If the defensive line, if they're getting off their wreaking havoc up front and pushing those offensive linemen around, the linebackers have more room to operate and make plays. So it's that defensive line, that's the engine to that Bengals defense. If they perform well, then the sky's the limit for this defense. And I'll go ahead and say it because they added DJ Reader. They got still Geno Atkins, who's one of the best defensive tackles in the National Football League. Carlos Dunlap isn't going anywhere. Sam Hubbard, productive young player. Carl Lawson. That defensive line, that is the strength, I would say, the entire Bengals football team. So they will are going to go as far in defense as that defensive line will take them. They underperformed last season, and that's one of the major reasons why they finished with a terrible record. So if they perform better and if they're able to stop the run and wreak havoc up front, then I have a good feeling about this Bengals defense, and they won't be ranked at the bottom half of the league. They should be – with the talent that they've added and that defensive line back in place, they should be a top, I would say, 15 defense. And that's a big improvement from ranking, 28th or 26th from a season ago.
The thing I like about the DJ Reader signing is I've talked to a lot of people in Houston and they're like all upset about it because it's such a big loss for their defense. And we remember we were talking about it. I think Tyler and I were texting each other because it was free agency and we're like, oh man, team's not making any moves. Twitter's going crazy. Everyone wanted the Bengals to be active and they go heavy and get DJ Reader on day one when they could. And I think that was surprising. As you guys mentioned, you've had plenty of conversations with Lou. As we know, Zach Taylor, his coaching staff was really put together late last year in the offseason. Not making an excuse for 2-14, but you learn the hard way who you have in what room, and they learned that in the linebacker room and more. So it'll be interesting to see how that defense bounces back. Charlie has a great piece on the identity of the defense up on Cincinnati.com. Tyler mentioned it. Battles for training camp will more likely start to see on the field late next week. What else is coming, guys?
So I have a quarterback feature that's going to be on there next week. So keep it locked on that. And as you mentioned, the training camp battles is a two-part series on offense and on defense. So log on to Cincinnati.com and check it out. We talked a little bit about what I have with the right tackle and with Fred Johnson and Bobby Hart. And then also on the defensive side, we talked about that inside linebacker spot. But I got more positions on there too. So you have to find out if you log on to Cincinnati.com.
And check out what I've got up already this week, talking to AJ Green's former trainer about how much longer he can play. And then as well, talking to some of Lou Anarumo's mentors about what, in an ideal world, what his defense will look like in Cincinnati.
Thank you again for listening to the Bengals Beat podcast. Make sure you're following along over on Twitter, Instagram, ENQ Bengals, ENQ Sports. We have plenty coming your way. Again, training camp, all getting set to start at Paul Brown Stadium next week. Thanks for listening.